Sydney, or living in Sydney, or moment. That wonderful Ian, who Hungarian devotee, Labunga, lives in Sydney. He was the devotee who originally got me into coming to Hungary. And then, after a couple of years, he sort of went back to Australia. He's there now. And then you and your brothers do that business?
Yes, Maharaj. We basically have our travel business, which is running a travel agency in Australia, focusing on Indians living in Australia, doing outbound travel.
Uh-huh.
And then we even have another business where we basically focus Australia as a holiday destination. Mm-hmm. So we work with travel agents, wholesalers, all over the world, and we supply them with holiday packages for Australia.
You know, we started doing that with an agency, but I forget their name. Radha Krishna comes here to India for the last 2 years now, different travel agencies, and market New Rajadam is sort of a spiritual destination, and see how it works. We've only had individuals coming, we haven't had groups as yet, but we've had sort of inquiry about groups.
And if you focus on the farming and agriculture industry, then there will be more people, corporates, who will be wanting to come and actually see.
Uh-huh. Yeah, he's been working on that. Yes. Let's see. It's good to do business for Krishna, because ultimately that's what transforms business into bhakti, into devotional service. It has to be practical according to everyone's ability, but you know, the concept of even giving is not a fully Krishna conscious one, because when I think I'm giving, that means I think I actually something belongs to me. And originally, you know, the devotee's consciousness is, well, nothing's mine anyway. And I have a right to something based on my needs. But over and beyond that, everything's Krishna's. And And if The Shakshini, you know, the also the terrace, especially the terrace handrail, you can just also get someone to clean that up, because it's a lot of birds sitting there. So this idea that things belong to me, but nothing belongs. It's a misunderstanding. Nothing really belongs to us. Everything belongs to Krishna. And someone's working in that consciousness, then that's being engaged in full-time devotional service. It's just whether someone's doing it inside a temple or outside a temple is not really relevant. So, yeah, that vision, that consciousness that Krishna is the owner, Bhuktaram Yagita Pasam Sava Lokameshram. He owns everything, so who am I to give? I'm just meant to be giving as much as possible in the same way that, I don't know, any sannyasi does, or brahmachari does, or that was Prabhupada's expectation also. Yeah. He didn't really distinguish very much between brahmacharis, grihasthas, sannyasis. He wanted them to all to give their lives to Krishna. And of course that includes everything. That's why Prabhupada would often talk about this 50%. And he even said at least 50%. Anyway, that was following Rupa Goswami's example. Although one sense Rupa Goswami gave more than 50%, but he was retiring because he gave 50% to Brahmins, and he gave 50% to 25% to relatives, which meant family, and then the other 25% he saved. There's no record of what happens to that, but considering how they lived, that probably also went for different types of devotional causes. And that's the basis of basic criterion of Krishna consciousness, is that nothing's mine. So I and mine, mama, aham, these are two material designations on this body, and something is mine. But when I'm not this body, and everything belongs to Krishna, and then it's a question of, you know, how much and what should I have, and that's something that your spiritual master can give guidance on. And sometimes it's good to show, for sake of preaching, it's good to show comfortable life. Even opulence, because it encourages other people. Well, if that's how Hare Krishnas can live, then that doesn't sound so bad. And people are inclined towards that type of life.
Raj, I've seen so many Vyasa devotees who theoretically will say this, but then practically they don't actually give. I mean, they don't really consider that practically, like within the realization is not there, but you can see them propagating that and saying that in terms of some of the grihasthas. And
what, that they shouldn't give?
No, meaning so we should give, but then it comes to their giving, thought, thinking is not really put into practice.
Yeah, well, what can you do? What can you do? Because she initiated devotees. Because it's not a concept that's just exclusive to Krishna consciousness, but you see in every religion, that's churches, mosques, synagogues, all of these other places, ultimately got built. Sometimes it was government, but most often than not, it was people who knew that, well, I've got money, and if they're a little God conscious, and the money came to God, so therefore I need to use that money in God's service. And of course, one thing is giving for that type of spiritual religious purpose, and another is when they give for some kind of humanitarian purpose, or build a hospital, or build roads, build parks, school, education, but still, it's the common theme. You've got to give. If you receive, you have to give. My experience with a lot of well-off people, I don't know, from England, from London, they all give. I mean, it looks bad, even from the material point of view, not to give. You know, that's why Bill Gates started this thing, well, give all your fortune. You got $40 billion, you'll never be able to spend it, even in 40 lifetimes. So just give it. And the other people, Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, and these people, actually took that seriously. That yes, I should will all of what I owe for a good cause. Mm-hmm. You can only have so big a house. You can only drive one car at a time anyway. You can only eat so much. So, and then that becomes impetus for them. And of course, a lot of people take that to a material extreme as well. They make a big show of what they're giving.
Why is it, Maharaj, that mostly when we've seen in preaching venues and areas where they actually say give it up, give up your material aspirations and surrender to Krishna and just join the temple and don't, you're in, we still see, at least strictly, I can still see that experience where devotees are still preaching to the new upcoming, the new bhaktas, hey, you're in, don't do this and don't be so materially, be aggressive.
Well, I don't know what this, but it's certainly for young people, for youth, it's a very good training. Whether they are going to end up doing it for their life is something else, but to know, that's Indian culture, to know what it means to Brahmachari Gurukule Vasadanto Guru Ritan, to know what it means to give everything, then where are you going to get the training to get to give everything? So when you live in an ashram, when you get up early in the morning, when you do whatever it is that you're told to do, it's a requirement. In Vedic culture, it's a requirement for everyone to do that. Not just some people who did it, everyone everyone did it up until age 25. They did that. So at least some time for people to do that. It's a very good practice. And when people are already established in the world and they're older, that's something else. But for young people, I preach that, I encourage them, and tell young boys especially that move in the temple. Finish school, move in the temple. 2 years, 3 years, and get that experience. Because you're not never going to get that experience doing anything else. Appreciate the missionary nature of the society. And then, if someone actually has the ability to make money, because the other problem is, there's so many people out there just hardly make ends meet. So, what if they don't have the ability to make money, then they can much more productive rendering full-time service to a mission. So that's also to do with our ashram. It's used to just feeding yourself out there. You could easily feed yourself on a farming community. You don't have to work 12 hours a day for that. If you're going to make a lot of money, that's preaching. But if all you're going to do is feed yourself, there's a lot of other ways to feed yourself, but it's just a desire to be independent. So, yeah, what's best for Krishna? That's the real thing.